SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Friday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website too, stevepick.com. First Friday of the new year, and the weekend preview pretty much focused on Gulfstream, hat full of stakes on Saturday, Santa Anita. Couple of nice graded stakes as the three-year-olds get started, in particular, also the turf of San Gabriel. Those will be the focus. Santa Inez, too, on Sunday at Santa Anita, and kind of caught up on as much as I could last couple of days, and we'll intersperse some of that commentary and reaction as we move around, and we'll go down to Florida with Marty McGee in the first hour. Marty entrenched for another winter at Hallandale and sharing the responsibilities with Mike Welch down there. Mike will be on the back end. We'll get a little bit of clocking info from Welch late in the show, the DRF Clocker Report, and the maiden race that was early on the card, and then the Mucho Macho Man. We'll see who among the three-year-olds Mike is interested in. And Marty is tracking, you know, a lot of the early Pegasus news, keeping track. And, in fact, yesterday with the important, actually, given McKinsey's status, that Leo Frick won't be participating, and that could open. There's the negotiations and the push and pull of getting the field assembled for Pegasus. But just literally 48 hours ago, there was some question. Well, you know, what slot would McKinsey, you know, where would they sidle in? Not that the stakeholders and those that have bought and put a down payment in, you have to put $100,000 in as a down payment. I'm sure any number would be happy to have McKinsey to partner up with to run into Pegasus. So we'll catch up with Marty and get some of that early news. And, you know, also, just from yesterday, we mentioned that third race that featured Orb's Full Brother and a second start for the Groupie Doll Tappet colt for Mandy Pope. And they ran second and third, respectively. It was Botero. It was that second-time starter that had started his career with Baffert, and has had sizable time off, had really a year, basically, on the sidelines, and came to Bill Mott, Don Alberto, the homebred, and, frankly, $15 was kind of generous in a six-horse field. As it turned out, the money came in on the Orb Brother. Went off at 4-5, and it's funny. Road to Meath actually went off second choice. The Warrens runner for Chad Brown, and the Groupie Doll 4-year-old. Six basically went off at almost 7-1. So be another chance for both of them later in the meet. Look for Shug and Ralph Nix to come back with personal time and tap ability. And Botero ran well. It took over. Luis Saez, set up shop and looked good doing it. And, the race going back to Wednesday, we should slip in. Cambier Park. The Medaglia d'Oro. And as it happens, Botero also Medaglia d'Oro. But the Larry Best, the $1.25 million filly out of Sealy Hill. And that came on Wednesday. We didn't get to this yesterday. And she had debuted at Aqueduct on Breeders' Cup weekend. And she ran okay and kind of had a sluggish start and passed some horses. But Chad Brown making the point that he felt the turf was going to be right for this one and looked very good. 84 Buyer, breaking her maiden on Wednesday. So, Cambier Park for Larry Best. OXO wearing the red jacket with the OXO ball. And, of course, Sealy Hill, the wonderful Gene Melnick campaigner and daughter of Point Given. And Sealy Hill was a hell of a nice. And she's had a couple of nice runners. So keep an eye on that one. For I would think it'd be pretty tough not to expect a stake try sooner than later for that 3-year old filly. So we'll catch up with Marty. We're going to check in with Jeremy Plonk to start the conversations, a weekend preview, and the first edition of Countdown to the Crown, Jeremy's love child. he works so hard on it, and there's so much information in it week to week, and really helpful. I mean, and free, provided by the sponsors that Jeremy lines up for it, and the information keep you absolutely in front of the road to the classic season. Countdown to the Crown. So we'll check in with Jeremy and see if he's got some early opinions about the weekend. Mucho Macho Man and the Sham. See what he thought of the Jerome. Nick will join us. Nick Tamaro, top of hour two, of course. We'll get a little Aqueduct in and see what else Nick was impressed with over the holiday period. We're also with Nick every week I want to do some of the handicapping and bankroll management discussion that can help help you work on your approach to the game. And Nick's handicapping is obviously tremendous. It's even, and you can only, you can only hear the handicapping opinions up front, and you can get some, we can get some wagering approaches discussed. But what Nick does better than most, maybe all, is adjust to the board and interpret, how to build the winning tickets. And so I want Nick to spend time on that every week, because I think it'll be really well received and helpful. Hammer's going to visit in hour two today. We'll check in with Rick, Ed DeRosa, and I'm quite prepared for a contentious discussion with Ed, because I'm anybody that was following along on Twitter yesterday. I mean, I really. Certainly not like me to be too hypercritical, but the abstention circumstance, and not reserved only, as we discussed this with Sid, but the, you know, the steeplechase abstaining is just doesn't make any sense. This particular year, there were basically six horses to peruse. Everybody voting for Eclipse Awards, they're looking at PPs, right? They're comparing seasons. So what do you think is that different about the past performances of the steeplechase runners that you can't formulate an opinion? Oh, I don't know enough about it. Well, then learn. I unabashedly took a shot yesterday saying that, you know, those that are doing, that are taking that abstention approach, it's an insult to the horsemen and the owners, and to me it's an embarrassment for, you know, what, I mean, personally, I take it kind of seriously. I mean, there's things that you can take seriously on this side of involvement in the sport. And this is something that, you know, means a lot to the people involved, the stakeholders, the owners, the breeders, the jocks, everybody that, it makes the show go on those arenas and those areas. So you don't have enough interest? You don't have enough interest? What is that? So if certain people aren't as interested in turf racing, so that they should. I mean, these are thoroughbred horses that are running races. The only difference is there's fences that they jump over, and it's not complex. There's two different kinds of steeplechase racing. There's steeplechase on the flat tracks, and there's steeplechase in the countryside at the hunt meets. Chasing at the hunts is a test of stamina. Steeplechase at the racetrack is a test of speed. That's all. In the same way that sprint races are a test of speed, and route races are a test of stamina. There's no appreciable difference, except that they jump a dozen times, give or take. It's unbelievable. Well, I don't know enough about it. then why are you doing? Then why are you involved? I mean, I just don't get it. I'm sorry. And for those that say, "Well, this is an old discussion and it's tiresome," well, now it seems to be spreading to the ownership category. This is the latest abstention phenomena. So, Ed better be wearing his flak jacket. Tom Quigley in hour three. Jay Privet and Mike Welch. We'll catch up with Tom. Quigley's been. Basically, between Del Mar and Los Al, Quigley went into hiding. He went for a freshening. They turned him out. He was at Rancho Quigley. He didn't. So looking forward to catching up with Tom. Jay Privman too. Talked to Jay yesterday or Wednesday. I can't remember now. Wednesday. Had his honeymoon, delayed honeymoon. So it'll be good to catch up with Jay. I got to check how the Kings did. He was at Go Kings Go last night. And Mike Welch. Last night, after I got off the air, got the surprise call from Siaka. Gary came up, Gary and Josephine. Gary's at Rerun today with Lisa Malloy. He went to go see Saratoga Snacks. Hasn't seen Snacks in a few months. He goes as often as he can to see Snacks at Rerun. So Gary was coming up with Josephine. He's also going to look at some babies in the field. So he called for dinner. So we went and had a wonderful dinner at Osteria Danny last night. And Gary's friend Eddie F., who has Eddie F.'s, the seafood shop I told you about. Eddie and his wife Lisa came. So really fun last night. Kind of a surprise evening. Back after this, we'll start it off with Plonk.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/RaceLens.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, the roof is leaking and the rain's falling on my head. It won't stop. The roof is leaking and the rain's falling on my head. I need a mop. She packed up her bags and she moved out on a midnight train. Got no brain. She packed up her bag and she moved out on a midnight train. The girl's insane. She took my heart. Tears rolling down my drain. Just like rain.
We're back at the races.
My buddy come to see me to give me a tip.
20 minutes in. Weekend preview. It is the first weekend of January, which invariably means the first weekend of Beat the Host, and the first host that lines up to get beat. It's Jeremy Plonk, and it's also simultaneously the launch day for Countdown to the Crown. So, Jeremy, you're doubly in the crosshairs. Happy New Year.
Well, Happy New Year. It's good to be back in the mix, and I'm just thankful that the folks at ExpressBet didn't rename the contest this year Bludgeon the Host, because last year I absolutely got beat up in the opening leadoff spot, but they kept me at the top of the batting order. We'll see if we'll do better this time around. I've got the 8 races selected, so you'll have to go to ExpressBet.com and check that out later today. 4 from Gulfstream, 4 from Santa Anita. I'm going to keep it an even split and cross our fingers and see how we do. I'm going to employ a little strategy, though. I've got to tell you, I'm going to try to build a lead and run out the clock. You'll figure it out when you see the pick.
I can envision the concept, and you know,
because honestly, as the host, you know, you're at this major disadvantage. You put your picks up there, and everybody knows
right.
what they need, you know. And I can't make a change. I don't get to look at the weather. I don't get to look who's hot, who's not, you know, and how things are playing out. So I'm at a bit of a disadvantage, and since my handicapping was a little askew last year, anyway, I'm going to see if strategy doesn't pull me to the finish line this time.
Well, it's a bit of a mixed blessing to some degree, because you know, if you do really well, you feel good about your handicapping prowess. But in the meantime, to be honest, we want the account holders to do well and to qualify for the championship and honestly. We kind of want to get beat. We want to do well. We want to maybe hit 3 out of 8 and feel good about yourself. But then, you know, you're happy for people to best your total.
Well, then last year I just, like, waved the blanket as the Bulls charged by and did an OLA. I let everybody pass go last year. So we're going to fight harder. We're going to do better this time around. I guarantee that. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, look, you want people to have a shot, but you also have a little pride in there, too. It's a fun contest. You know, you get a chance to sweep the host and get all the way through if you can beat all 8 hosts over the course of January and February. There's bonus money involved in that. $50,000 in prizes overall go out. There's weekly winners, you know, the season totals. A good lineup of hosts, too. I know you'll be involved a little bit later on in the season. Quiggs, who you have on later, he's part of it. Ron Nicoletti down in Florida, Millie Ball, Jeff Siegel, John White. I know I'm forgetting somebody else amongst the 8 in there off the top of my head, but a really good lineup of folks and a fun challenge, too. Hopefully we'll have some fun with it on social media and banner back and forth. Get involved. And the thing I like about this contest and versus some others, it goes right in the parimutuel pools. You know, you're making a $5 win wager. If you bet $5 and get $27 back, it's $27 in your account. If you lose it, that $5 went in the parimutuel pool, and somebody else is getting their hands on it. And to me, that's the way contests should be played.
Well, $1,500 to the winner each week, $750 for second, $250 for third, and everybody that beats the host then qualifies for the $25,000 championship on March 2nd. You mentioned the sweep the host bonus. One thing that's amazing, because Johnny and I go over the results each Monday, and over the years, in the time that beat the host has been played, and this is one of the most popular ExpressBet tournaments of the year, it's amazing how the players, how many have made it each year. The number increases. There's a bigger group that whittles down toward the beat the host bonus. I mean, when we first started it, there would be pretty much everybody would be eliminated by about week 4 or 5. And then suddenly they were making it to week 6 and then 7 and then, you know, to the end. It just kind of shows that, you know, that people have, you know, particularly the regulars, because there you see certain names on the leaderboard on a constant basis in this. And a lot of it is, you know, a lot of it are the big time contest players. I mean, Rich Nilsson, for instance. I mean, there's a instantly familiar name, and you know, Ed Fantini and our man Ed Peters, Fantini. He, you know, he's in there, and I see names. I always rifle through, and these are some of the, you know, the best contest players. But you have to be involved tomorrow. $40, 8 races, $5 each. You have to be to qualify for the sweep bonus. You got to win tomorrow, and then, you know, each week thereafter.
And, you know, when you talked about Eds and contest players, Eddie Olczyk will be our cleanup hitter at the end
of
the season. So if you go 7 for 7, you still got to get through Eddie. He's our last line of defense. he's our defenseman going to throw you into the boards if you're still trying to get that bonus.
Well, Ed, and don't think that Ed isn't capable of elbowing and cross check. Believe me, he'll lay the lumber like Dr. Hook. I love it. Well, let's also, before we talk about what's going on out on the Oval and any other year-end topic, let's also cover Countdown to the Crown, which kicks off today.
Yeah, the first Friday in January every year has been the kickoff for Countdown to the Crown. Now in its 14th season, goes back a long ways now, and, you know, I'm looking forward to a different look in this year's Triple Crown Trail because of what we saw last year with Justify. So late to the game, are we going to see more and more latecomers to the party at least get their shot? You know, I mean, in the past, if a horse broke its maiden in February, a trainer may be more conservative and say, you know, maybe we'll aim towards the Preakness or something towards the summer. Now, I'm not saying every horse is justified, but it's a sport of lemmings, and we know this. Once something happens, everyone else tries to follow suit. I think you could see a lot of latecomers to the party this year. Interestingly, Oaklawn, who's running all the way through May this year, has a new race at the end of the meet. It'll be run Kentucky Derby Day called the Oaklawn Invitational, $250,000 there at a mile and an eighth. And they're going to go out and court the third, fourth-place finishers in all these major preps who come up a little bit short on the Derby points. And some of these late runners are late comers to the party that we talk about. You know, not everybody's going to be justifying go from that maiden race in February and win the Santa Anita Derby and have the points to get in. But they're going to, you know, they're going to court some of these latecomers and see how that race turns out. So a different trail this year. You know, you got Oaklawn a little bit longer, and you have that immediate impact. And that's one of the feature stories I wrote in the digital magazine that was released today, the sixth Countdown to the Crown preseason annual. You can pick that up. Go to countdowntothecrown.com or at horseplayernow.com in the Countdown link. You check that out every week. But the magazine is out now for the preseason. And one of the features in there is, you know, what next after Apollo? You know, that unbelievable curse that nobody thought could be broken. How are people going to look at things now and approach things? I fear that they're going to just completely dismiss all historical thought and all, you know, postscript. And I think that's a wrong approach. And that's how I take the tact in the article that I wrote. You know, I think history still matters a lot. Whether this element still exists as a never has happened, I think it's going to give people this false sense of security that anything on a horse's resume doesn't matter to a certain point, that it's just another horse race. And to me, I think that's always been the wrong approach. Just because this horse was able to do it doesn't mean the next 200 in this crop are going to be able to pull it off.
Well, that's a fair point. And yeah, I can think back to Funnyside winning, and you know, there hadn't been a gelding win since Clyde Van Dusen,
and there still hasn't been six.
Well, Mind That Bird.
Even gelding? Okay, yeah.
Mind That Bird.
Nobody Mind That Bird. My goodness.
Well,
I'll never forget. I was on the track when Mind That Bird blew by everybody and caught everybody by surprise. Of course, Tom Durkin's call, you know, was the most surprised person probably in the building. He didn't pick him up until he was five in front. And I'm just laughing, and I'm just chuckling. And Rick Riley from Sports Illustrated looks at me, and he's like, "What are you laughing at?" It's like, you don't understand what you just saw there. That was the most unbelievable finish in a Kentucky Derby. To win by that margin, to be that obscure of a horse, you know, with the story behind it. And, you know, Rick Riley kind of wrinkled his nose at it. I think he didn't really want to be there and cover horse racing as it was. And, you know, he was expecting, you know, some blue blood pomp and circumstance kind of story to write. And I think you ended up with a better one, honestly, in one of the all-time tales in horse racing history. That Mind That Bird was unbelievable. I actually had that horse. I was part of the official Derby Notes team back at the time, and I covered him all week. And I was going to Chip Woolley's barn. I was the only guy going to Chip Woolley's barn during the week every day. And the Sunday, the day after, I go back to the barn, and Chip goes, "Did you bet him?" And I'm like, "Hell no. Why would I have bet your horse?" You know, I mean, it's just, there was no way to come up with him, even if you had a little bit of a tie to it. But Mind That Bird, yeah. Whew. And again, well, so we talked about, you know, we do all this homework, right? And I love it. I love the pursuit. There's 118 pages in the preseason annual magazine. I'll write probably 5,000 words a week for 20 weeks on the Triple Crown Trail. And then you get to Derby Day, and the the curse of Apollo is gone. Mind that bird wins. But you know what? We still love the pursuit, and I think that's what it's all about. And it could be the same thing in college football. That's my other love in life. And, you know, you go through this entire season and you bend and you twist on every game and every kick and every flag and every bad call. And it comes down to the end, and it's still just Alabama and Clemson again for the fourth time. You know,
That's true.
But we still love it. That's why we do it. Even if you get a result completely predictable with six straight favorites winning the Kentucky Derby, which was one of the more unfathomable streaks that we've seen, you know, in that race's history. Six favorites in a row have won the darn thing. I guess we should just wait till post time and make our pick then.
You know, on that topic, they're actually yesterday, as part of the reaction to Andy Beyer's visit here, and Ron Paolucci had a couple of comments that then initiated, in, for the most part, some really intelligent back and forth. And one of the things that came up was this run of favorites and the improbability of it. And, you know, everybody pretty much, it feels like, turns toward the point system as being, I don't want to call it the villain, but the culprit to some degree. And I don't know if it's that simple. And if, you know, people saying, well, we don't have the tearaway speed horses like we used to. Well, okay, I guess we don't have as many pure sprinters qualifying and getting involved, but we have had authentic pace horses that had speed that then ended up going, for the most part, back to sprinting, like Promises Fulfilled last year.
Sure.
And we also had, you know, we had the weird circumstance with Palace Malice putting the blinkers on and being a runoff. Uncle Cy, there's been plenty of horses that cut out early fractions to spread the field. So I don't buy the one-dimensional suggestion that the point system, because Trini Berg can't be in the field anymore, that's not what this is about. I mean, you've had horses win from on and near the lead, and then you've had Orb pass them all on a wet track. So I don't think there has to be a ready answer to this.
Yeah, you know, it, like everything in life, and horse racing is part of that. You know, there's always a percentage of that to be true, never 100%. You know, nothing is ever 100% explainable. So, you know, does the point system have a factor in this run of favoritism? Probably has some, you know, but to say it's the lone and the only telling factor wouldn't be true. Now, that first over trip, if you cut and paste the past performance line, the running line of the last four or five Derby winners, they will look identical. They were second a length and a half off the lead, first over trip, and went on to win. You go back the last four or five, California Chrome, Always Dreaming, you know, last year with Justify, before that. The last four or five have all been the same. You're right about Orb, but, like, you know, you kind of get back to that. We haven't had an Orb in a while, you know, and you start to think, well, all right, we're getting back there already when you get to Orb. And the other thing we haven't had, and this is another fascinating point on the Triple Crown Trail, we haven't had a three-year-old lose to win the Kentucky Derby. They've all been undefeated at three going back the last six, 7 years. I mean, you've got to go back to the turf horse, Animal Kingdom. Animal Kingdom lost on the turf at Gulfstream in a allowance race, then won the Spiral, now the Jeff Ruby, and then went on to win the Derby. He's the last horse to lose as a three-year-old and win the Kentucky Derby. They've all been undefeated at three. I mean, so it's elimination games. You know, it's almost, if you apply that as something you're going to look at in this year's Triple Crown Trail, the first sign of a loss, you're off the bandwagon because you can find the next horse. And you're looking for a horse who's two for two, three for three. We don't get anybody four for four going into the Derby anymore, but they've all been undefeated. And, you know, the last horse to lose on the dirt was Super Saver, losing the Arkansas Derby. The last Derby winner to lose a race on dirt at three was Super Saver. I mean, so it's fascinating the way things kind of have come. Because when I really got into handicapping the Kentucky Derby, you know, in earnest in the 1980s, you were looking for a horse coming off a loss. That was your value. And in the 90s, you found horses like Thunder Gulch, you know? He was one of the top players, you know, Remsen, early season in Florida. oh, he runs fourth in the, or third or fourth in the bluegrass, all of a sudden he's a $50 horse in the Derby, you know? You were looking for that mold. It's turned, you know? I mean, if you're still looking for horses like that, you've been blank the last 7-8 years in the Derby. You can't get it. So
that's a good point.
You know, they're not fast and firm facts, you know? The next Derby winner could have two losses during the season. We'll see. But that's what's been happening.
Well, virtually every important piece of information you would want going into the start, and we've already, of course, had the Jerome, and we've had the races that were run for two-year-olds, and Jeremy's got that. And then there's complete prep documentation for all of the run-up to the Triple Crown, and it's really a wonderful resource. And each week you go, you can download it and use it as a reference. Jeremy's top 20, always thoughtful. Hit a couple of highlights. If you had to identify a horse that some people, you're always good for a little of these horses that people might not have heard about yet, Jeremy.
I think, you know, Limonite, I think, is one, and Gunnet for Steve Asmussen. These are two horses that he's got, probably Limonite in Arkansas and Gunnet at Fairgrounds. I think, you know, Steve had a fantastic year last year. He's had success in the Triple Crown. He hasn't won a Derby. It's kind of one of the last, one of the last real feathers in his cap. I think Limonite and Gunnet give him a good chance this year, and I think those are horses that you want to keep an eye on. I'm curious to see with a horse like Uncle Benny, if he gets back on the tab and working. I think he's got a tremendous turn of foot, and I think he's a very interesting horse coming off the grass, and I'd love to see what he can do. But at the top, you know, look, of the preseason top six, five are Bob Baffert trainees, and I've never had anything close to that in any preseason poll I've ever done. I had to go back and really, like, crunch and think. The last time I think someone's had a hand like this, coming from 2 to 3. It may not turn out that way, but just, you know, like all the players are kind of the same spot. I think 94 to 95 with Lucas, when he had Serena Song and Flanders, the two-year-old fillies, but then he had Timber Country, he had Thunder Gulch, and then they came into 95 and they produced, and he got to the Derby with the big filly and the two colts and the eventual winner. This is kind of like Lucas into 95 is kind of the way it feels, and Baffert is just so very strong. And, you know, you got to keep in mind, you know, Baffert, Brown, and Pletcher have combined to win, you know, what, 9 of the last 12 Triple Crown races, something along those lines. I mean, these three guys have, dominated the series and have dominated American racing. One of those wins in between there was Steve Asmussen with Creator in the Belmont. And, of course, Asmussen has won the Preakness Stakes, Rachel Alexandra most notably. So the only thing missing for him this year is, or in his career, would be a Kentucky Derby. And I kind of think Steve Asmussen is going to have a little say this year.
Well, one of the stories we had and one of the groupings of horses, as you refer, in fact, you've got a piece on that topic where you group the big outfits together, Pletcher and Baffert and Brown. But last year at this time, we were really watching Dale Romans and Steve Asmussen, who would certainly be at the top of the list of, you know, of horsemen that would like to get that Derby trophy added to their, you know, their sizable collection. And they both, by the time we got to June, had really disappointed. And mm-hmm. despite the fact that both of them had 8 or 9 seeming contenders among the sophomores, really nobody stood up and stepped forward.
Tenfold, Tenfold hit the board in the Preakness and was probably in the end Asmussen's best, but not to the level to be a real contender to win one of the classics. And yeah, I agree with you. And Dale has been really quiet this year with his 2-year-olds to 3. Todd Pletcher extremely quiet. Who is Todd Pletcher's best horse? I mean, I have King for a Day as his top runner coming into the season, but Todd's not, he doesn't have the kind of hand that we're used to seeing. Now, we know January, February is where he just racks up the W's at Gulfstream historically, and we're expecting him to win a slew of maiden specials and first-level allowance races there over the next 2 months. But, his runners need to kind of move forward. But remember, when Always Dreaming won the Derby for him a couple years ago, all he had was the maiden race at Saratoga where he didn't run that well and came back 6 months later and, you know, all of a sudden, you know, rose to the level of Florida Derby and Kentucky Derby champion. So it's not too late for these horses for sure, and these horsemen, we're just getting started with it, and it's going to be a lot of fun throughout the whole season.
No doubt. Well, with the two preps on the horizon tomorrow, quick thoughts about the Sham and the Mucho Macho Man?
Both are part of the Express Bet Beat the Host contest, so I'm not going to reveal totally what I'm doing here. But I will tell you this. I'm going to take a shot against Code of Honor. I think he's one of the top horses for a Triple Crown prospect. But Suge is a conservative guy, first time back. You know, the horse missed a couple starts in the fall, as we well know. And look at the charts for the last several Mucho Macho Mans. Almost all speed horses, you know, and shorter distance. 6 furlong, 7 furlong kind of horses win this thing at a mile. Milers, but horses with front end speed. So I'm going to try to look at the Mucho Macho Man as a race where Code of Honor will spot them a little bit at the beginning. Maybe he has to kick the rust off a little bit for a trainer who's still old school, right? I mean, layoffs usually don't mean anything for 99% of the trainers in the game today, but Suge is still old school. So if there is a trainer who you want to handicap like it's 1992 still with, it's probably Suge. And that's a great thing for May. You know, and that's not a knock on him at all. He's going to bring Code of Honor along at a nice pace and try to get him to continue to grow and peak and build. He may be good enough to win this race first off the bench, but I think at a short price, try to beat him. As for the Sham, look, it's Bob Baffert. He's been unbelievable in this race. As I mentioned in the preseason annual, the last 6 times Baffert's had a horse in the Sham, he's got 3 wins and 4 seconds. 7 exact finishes in his last 6 appearances in the race. You got to expect Baffert's going to be right there.
Well, the one, and I'm anxious to hear what Quigley and Hammer and Jay Pribman have to say, but Baffert was with us on Wednesday, really to review McKenzie's performance. I thought he was a little revealing when he said he wants to see if they can get Coliseum to relax. And then I went to XBTV, and I watched that workout from last Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very headstrong horse early, and you'll see the exercise rider has got the feet, the proverbial feet, on the dashboard and is standing almost, you know, straight-legged to try to restrain Coliseum from running off early. And then he does settle a little on the turn, but I... Baffert had he's not the toughest read, and he said, "Well, we'll have to see if we can get him to relax." And that is the thing to watch here. And maybe on sheer talent, he overwhelms this group. But this is not improbable, or certainly at the same level of accomplishment and polish right now.
No, he's the raw.
That was alarm bells for me.
For sure. Yeah. No, I agree with that. You know, you look at the race and you wonder who else, you know, can go with him early. You know, is there much speed in the race? Savagery, perhaps, you know, Easy Shot comes out of sprints but isn't that fast. There's not a lot to go with him, honestly. So unless Peter Miller sends Savagery, you know, hard under Rosario, adding the blinkers, which is possible, then they could get into a tussle there. But if he's going to be a Derby-type horse, you want him to be able to, you know, if Savagery goes, you want him to sit second, pounce, and move on to the next step. That's the hope. But look, the Sham Stakes isn't a race that has been a big producer down the line. You look at the horses who have won it in recent years, and most of them have been winter horses. You know, they're not May horses. So let's see what we have here.
Absolutely. Well, we know we've got 118 pages worth of reading. Countdown to the Crown at countdowntothecrown.com. You can go directly there, bookmark it, also through horseplayernow.com, of course, and follow Jeremy and the horseplayernow.com team at Twitter, Brian W. Spencer and the whole gang. And, of course, Brian wrapped up the season on Night School just a couple of weeks ago, and we'll start to prepare for what, season 10?
season 9 of Knightsville. It'll be the 10th year for Horse Player now. We have our 10th anniversary coming up in December of this year, so proud of those accomplishments. And some exciting technology processes are being developed right now for Night School. So we'll have more to announce in a couple months, but we're working hard in the off season right now towards that. But I think it's going to be something very cool and something totally new to the industry. Look forward to it.
Nice. As always, Jeremy Plock. And Jeremy will be reinstalled in his usual Tuesday spot as the road to the Triple Crown gets going. Countdown to the crown. Jeremy Plock, enjoy this first Saturday, and good luck tomorrow. Beat the host. Make sure you get involved tomorrow. You can't sweep the hosts if you don't beat Jeremy tomorrow. Jeremy, thanks.
All right. Take care, everybody. Good luck.
JP, Jeremy Plock. Let's take a break. Marty McGee. Get McGee in here. He's down in Florida. He's eating stone crabs. He's making the scene. He's Marty McGee, the one and only, next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Yeah, Express Bet. Give me 12 grand to win on the 9 at Gulfstream. Yeah, yeah, that's what I said. 12 grand. 12,000 smackaroos. 12,000...
Mikey, hang up the phone. You crazy? You can't bet that much.
Quiet, Joey, I'm practicing.
Practicing? Practicing for what? Divorce?
No, I'm practicing my Pegasus Big Bet with my friends at ExpressBet.
Ooh, the contest is back?
And better than ever. All you gotta do is register for free at ExpressBet.com. Then you'll earn entries for every bet you make until January 14th. The more you play, the more chances you have to win.
And you win a $12,000 bet on the Pegasus?
And a VIP trip to Gulfstream with airfare, hotel, tickets, it's all included. Now, if you'll excuse me, I got some more practicing to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, ExpressBet, you still there? Good. Like I was saying,
ExpressBet is the official online wagering partner of the Pegasus World Cup. Visit ExpressBet.com to bet today. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void, or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel, and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I fell in love with your body and soul. My hands feel sticky and my head's eyes cold. My sugar tastes sour, my salt tastes sweet. I wanna lay down, but I just can't sleep. It's your voodoo.
We're back at the races, 10 to the top of the hour, and Marty McGee is down in Florida. He's ready to spend another wonderful winter in the sun. And how many stone crabs so far?
On New Year's Eve, Vic, I had six of the mediums over at Billy's. I'm living where I could almost crawl home from Billy's here in Hollywood.
Ooh, and, nice.
And then I went to, you know, Tom Shea, the venerable mutual clerk a la Monmouth Park and here at Gulfstream. Do you know Tommy?
I don't think so.
He's been around quite a while. But anyway, he's living in the same building as me, so he invited me to his little soiree on New Year's Eve, and with nothing better to do, I went there. And what did they have to eat? But stone crabs.
So you're out of the gate sharp on the stone crab front.
Yeah. Sailing on the lead right now.
Well, save some for Pridman. Don't exhaust the supply.
Gotcha.
Well, meanwhile, you are obviously, getting out in front of the Pegasus news, and that included yesterday with Leah Frick. Time is getting a little short here. Not really as worried about slots for the main event, but this turf race, Marty. Where do they stand with it? Because they don't seem to have any horses, and I don't really get where they're going to come from either.
Well, first of all, the Pegasus itself, this is its third. This will be its third running on January 26th, and we've had changes in it every year. Of course, the first year it was $12 million, or everybody put up the $1 million. That needed some tweaking. So last year they went to $16 million. That needed some tweaking. So this year, of course, we have the two different Pegasus races, the $9 million on the dirt, $7 million on the turf, and fortunately, this looks like the deepest race, Steve, of the three. I mean, we had Arrogate win the first year and Gunrunner the next year. They were both even money-ish, and we've got Accelerate as the favorite here, but you have horses like Audible, City of Light, Gunavera, and it looks like, hopefully, McKenzie will come into the spot vacated by Leo Frick. So that's a pretty solid group of 12, where I don't think Accelerate can be even money. Maybe he will be, but I don't know. But asking me about the, I have listed all 12 of these horses, which, presumably will include McKenzie. You told me yesterday that, I guess you had Baffert on the show, and he wants to run McKenzie in the Pegasus. But the turf is far less clear. It looks like Yoshida for Mott will run in this race. And we have these horses named Aerolith, a Japanese horse, Bricks and Mortar, who got a triple-digit fire speed figure here a couple weeks ago for Chad Brown, Catapult, who ran a big race in the Breeders' Cup Mile, and then the Philly Magic Wand for Coolmore. So that's all they've given me are those five names. And the problem with this, I assume that Gulfstream wanted to get some big name Euros, but they pretty much shut down, as you know.
Sure.
A couple of months ago. So
yep.
And so that's kind of fallen by the wayside. So I don't know what they're going to do. We're talking about a $7 million race on the grass. It's a mile and 3/16. And, I'm guessing they're going to have to tweak this concept too, assuming we're back here next year for another go-round.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how they drum up horses. I've been watching with interest to see the names that that might crop up, and they just have not.
Obviously it was a weak division last year. I mean, look at the morass we're all involved in terms of the Eclipse voting for older male turf horse. So sans the Euros, who would come over with their, if they came over with their best horses, given a different time, you would think they'd dominate, but it's kind of bad timing in terms of this being the inaugural and then what they have to draw from.
Well, looking at the calendar and today being the 4th, so you got 3 weeks, and we'll see who turns up between now and then. But certainly right about the main track of event that that really is going to be a little bit of a wider array of you know what we have these days for quality. And McKenzie would be a huge addition. That would really help on the marquee side, you know, after Accelerate. So
yeah, I mean, it's my understanding, and I've kind of written around this. I'm going to file something today, Steve, for the Sunday print editions of DRF about the Pegasus, trying to, you know, just something cursory, getting my arms around it. But it's my understanding that PJ Campo and or Tim Ritvo are going to have a tete-a-tete with Baffert in terms of, you know, what it's going to take to get him here. And then I think I think you told me that he wants to run anyway, Pegram and the other owners.
Well, here's from yesterday from Marty's DRF Live missive. Accelerate, Audible, Bravazo, City of Light, Gunnevera, Kukulkan, Pattern Recognition, Seeking the Soul, Something Awesome for the home team for Stronach, Tom's the Tot, and True Timber would be 11, and McKenzie ostensibly could be the 12th. And that's a nice field, actually. Of course, Marty, there are going to be horses that draw the 9, 10, and 11, 12 on that racetrack that won't be happy, but it's a nice field.
Well, Gunrunner won from the 10 or the 12 last year? What did he win from?
He was outposted, but he also towered over that group.
Yeah, yeah. You know, again, so, the depth here, there's more depth here than when Arrogate and Gunrunner won, so yeah.
Well, ideally, Kukulkan gets the 12, and because that's where he's going to finish. So, I'm sorry, folks. I don't mean to be rough on the undefeated Mexican champion, but he's in over his head. This is not the Clásico de Caribe. to say the least.
Frankie Dettori is going to come in and ride him. I don't know if he also had a mount in the turf anyway or what, but and Irad, who or as Larry Colmus insists, Erod rode him in the Clásico, but I guess he's vacating for something else. I haven't done the math on that, but by the way, Erod is off. He won 3 races here yesterday at Gulfstream and 3 races on Wednesday, and he's, you know, in mid-season form. He's off 3 days, today, tomorrow, and Sunday, because of a suspension resulting from the 10th race on opening day at Santa Anita. I have no idea. It was a horse named Avalanche. I don't know what happened or anything, but just word filtered down. So make a note that if you're wondering where Erod is the next 3 days, he's not riding. I don't know where he'll be. So he'll be back here next Wednesday.
Marty, I also, before we talk about a couple of the spots tomorrow at Gulfstream, I also want to voice my appreciation. Listeners know how highly we think of Kathleen O'Connell, and you were incredibly sensitive on the story that you wrote, and then the follow-up yesterday with your tweet. Kathleen, of course, with the opportunity with Well Defined tomorrow and the Mucho Macho Man and the passing of her father and mother within about 8-9 weeks of each other. And thoughts go out to Kathleen, who's one of the most underappreciated horsemen in the game.
Absolutely. I mean, my heart goes out to her. I was calling her on Wednesday morning just to, you know, get some comments on what she thought about Well Defined. And lo and behold, she had flown Tuesday night to Lansing, Michigan, which is where her family's from, that area. And she could barely eke out the words to tell me that her mom was, you know, just hours away from dying. And her dad had died October 1st. And Kathleen, just by chance, happened to be stabled in my brother's barn at Churchill Downs, barn 39, for the Breeders' Cup. And when I was talking to her there, she was, you know, having a hard time talking about her dad. So, you know, real crushing blow for her. You know, none of us are getting out of here alive, Steve, but her dad died at 93, and her mom died on Wednesday at age 90. And the funeral is today for her. I looked up on the internet her obituary. Her name was Arlene O'Connell. And I texted Kathleen my condolences this morning and asked her if she intended to be here tomorrow for well-defined in his race. And she said possibly. So, you know, I'm sure she'll be walking around with a heavy heart here and over at Tampa. And, you know, it's, you know, again, a lot of people really, really like Kathleen O'Connell, and they're feeling for her right now.
Well, our hearts go out. We've had Kathleen many, many times. She does just a tremendous job. Has racked up a lot of wins in her long career. And we'll send our best wishes. And you know, you look at this race, the Mucho Macho Man, and well defined, and trophy chaser, and also Mijos for Jimmy Jerkins. Code of Honor, the horse to beat, clearly, but you know, he's been gone since October. He's had a couple of hiccups that have kept him out of other opportunities, and disappointing, you know, not to get to the Breeders' Cup with him for Shug and Mr. Farish. Some updates, Mark, from down there. He's been working steadily at Payson.
Yeah, he has. I mean, he's obviously vulnerable in this kind of spot, although it's not the toughest field he'll ever face. But I know that Jimmy and the Centennial people are high on Mijos, and you know, Kathleen thinks that Well Defined absolutely did not run his race in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. But, you know, if you just go on the maiden win and the champagne effort by Code of Honor, and just, you know, the whole aura of Shug and Johnny B and Mr. Farish, yeah, he's the horse to beat for sure. It actually, we're running 11 races here tomorrow at Gulfstream, Steve, and five of them are stakes, all for three-year-olds. And it looks like in all but maybe one, there's a real heavy favorite along the lines of Code of Honor. So you're going to see some blinking lights tomorrow.
I noticed that too, and it's funny. I went through this, and I'll probably end up doing a write-up for the races at Santa Anita. Gus will undoubtedly do this. I felt the same way. I thought, you know, he went through this and kind of one after another. I saw, you know, obviously Henley's Joy in the Kitten's Joy, you know, is another one that figures very tough. So, you know, people will deal with it. Let's talk about the other three-year-old race, the Philly side of things, and that Glitter Woman. What's Ben Colebrook say about where Fancy Dress Party is after the, you know, so far the two wins? Because we got the word on her early on during the summer on Fancy Dress Party, and kind of talked her up, and it does feel like, you know, like Fancy Dress Party 9 to 5, and I couldn't really get much past her.
No, I mean, all but two horses in the Glitter Woman, Steve, are eligible for one other than allowances. And the only other horse besides Fancy Dress Party, who her two races were in the slot, both of them, her maiden win at Keeneland and her 1X allowance victory at Churchill, both came over off track. So she's never run over a fast track. We're expecting a fast track here tomorrow. Midtown Rose is the only other horse, the horse drawn in the open air outside box where the air is fresh and clear. So I think that she'd probably be the main contender. But Fancy Dress Party, she's got one of the biggest white blazes on her face I think I've ever seen in a thoroughbred. So you won't have any trouble spotting her tomorrow. I know that I didn't talk with Ben. He texted me yesterday his comments about her. He just said, and this is very logical, because I think she's going to be like 3 to 5. I talked to Jay Stone, the morning line maker here at Gulfstream, about it. I said that he has her 9 to 5. I said, no, she's got to be under even money. And Ben said this is a great spot for a stakes debut. And if you dope it out on paper, Yeah, it is. And if she runs back to those races, she'll win.
I want to bring up the third race. This is a 7-furlong maiden group, and the horses on the outside, the two favorites, the two fractional contenders, Global Campaign all the way outside in the six, and Growth Engine for Chad Brown and Seth Klarman in the five hole, 7-5 and 9-5 respectively. And we should note that Global Campaign, Stan Huff, of course, has been sending out the Sagamore horses, but this is a horse that Sagamore bought, and Windstar, who bred this son of Curlin, came back in with Sagamore. This, of course, a half to Bolt Doro and Sonic Mule. So Global Campaign, who's up at Palm Meadows, has worked quite nicely, but Growth Engine, a $300,000 Tappet purchase, for Chad and Seth Klarman, also working nicely at Payson. Their firsters, as is John Kimmel with the Bourbon Lane Distorted Humor Colt Rye Humor, they are giving away experience to Shug with Throwdown and Ian Wilkes with Laughing Bobby for Bob Lothenbach.
Yeah, I mean, this Gulfstream is a haven, as we talked about it, both Keeneland and Churchill, for these young maidens. And this is, you know, even though you're not going to get a price on any of these horses, being that it's a six-horse field, I'm excited to see all these horses run. Growth Engine for Chad, Global Campaign for Stan. Really glad to have Stan back around. He's a real nice guy to be around, as you know. So, yeah, looking forward to that. Aside from all the three-year-old stakes action, you got these three-year-old maidens who might become something one day.
Now, there's also a maiden race late on the card. By the way, I don't know how long Stan's basically placekeeping this post Horacio De Paz, and there may be some movement. I don't know how long Stan's going to. I mean, he's doing well too. I mean, he's winning and certainly in good hands. But I understand that they're, you know, that he's trying to find a permanent house trainer again for Sagamore.
Yeah, he wants to go play golf.
Exactly. Finally, I do want to bring up that 11th race, Mart, and I'm curious who Hermes likes in the 11th. This is a 7.5-furlong turf maiden group, and it's a full field. And I found a horse, I think, a firster, that is 15-1. I don't know if that's going to hold, but what did you do in the 11th?
I have not looked at this race. I'm only making picks over at Tampa for under the Hermes banner. So
that's not right.
Yeah. That's
Well, how are you hitting them? How are you hitting them at Oldsmar?
Well, since I didn't bet that pick five that I picked cold that paid $10,000, yeah, I haven't been betting much. That was kind of a doubter to be asleep at the wheel when that happens. I guess I'm picking okay. You know, they got some races where it's you know, it's not that enjoyable to dope them out and make picks, but nonetheless, you know, I'm excited about going back over there. As usual, I'll go over for the Sam Davis and the Tampa Bay Derby. They're on February 9th and March 9th, respectively, this year. So it's a nice little place. I like it.
I will.
First timer, are you going with the Animal Kingdom for Jenna Antonucci?
No. Okay. No. Beekeeper. The Billmont, the English Channel colt. This is the first foal out of Julie's Love, and this horse, you know, there's not a ton to go on, but I think I'm interested at 15-1, and I'm you know, you're not going to get any information out of the Clocker report because this horse is up at Payson, but I there's a hint that Julie's Love could be ready, and I tell you, Mott has had a very good start to the winter down there, and his horses are sharp.
He beat the Orb Full Brother yesterday with a horse that he had gotten from Baffert, a horse named Bortaro or something like that.
Bortaro. And, in fact, I'm glad you reminded me, because give me one second. I'm going to tell people, because I did bring that up. We mentioned the race because, of course, there was the Groupie Doll baby, and there was the Orb brother. And so this race had plenty to, you know, to note out of it. And, you know, the race that Bortaro debuted in, going back to last January, that happened to be Nero's maiden breaker. Curly's Rocket was second, and Core Beliefs made his debut in that race. So that that race had some quality to it. A 75 buyer yesterday for that diploma for Bortaro. So sort of a modest scoring coming out of yesterday.
Yeah, those were older horses too, 4-year-olds.
Yes, yes.
Late to the races.
Well, Mart, as always, a pleasure, and I will mention, I'm glad you talked about the Sam Davis date, because right after that is the HBPA, it's actually Vegas that weekend, so I guess the HBPA is going to be close to Tampa Bay Derby week, so maybe I will hybrid that, and we'll overlap in Tampa.
Not a bad idea, Vic.
Right? And you go over a couple of days early, don't you?
I go over about 4 days early, yeah.
All right. Well, then I will try to make that happen. All right?
All right, buddy. All right.
I appreciate it. Marty McGee, everybody, DRF McGee, and all the Pegasus news that fits in America's Turf Authority. Marty on top of it, and yesterday's Leah Frick news, which opens the door for McKinsey. We were going to open the door for Nick Tamro, but I just got a text. Nick is a late scratch. He's got an issue that he's dealing with work-wise. So, unfortunately, we've lost Nick. And we'll work through that, and we'll get out to Hammer. All right. Later, we'll check in with Ed DeRosa and Jay Privman, Tom Quigley, and more. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Yeah, ExpressBet. Give me 12 grand to win on the 9 at Gulfstream. Yeah, yeah, that's what I said. 12 grand. 12,000 smackaroos. 12,000...
Mikey! Hang up the phone! You crazy? You can't bet that much.
Quiet, Joey. I'm practicing.
Practicing? Practicing for what? Divorce?
No, I'm practicing my Pegasus Big Bet with my friends at ExpressBet.
Ooh, the contest is back?
And better than ever. All you gotta do is register for free at ExpressBet.com. Then you'll earn entries for every bet you make until January 14th. The more you play, the more chances you have to win.
And you win a $12,000 bet on the Pegasus?
And a VIP trip to Gulfstream with airfare, hotel, tickets, it's all included. Now, if you'll excuse me, I got some more practicing to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, ExpressBet, you still there? Good. Like I was saying,
ExpressBet is the official online wagering partner of the Pegasus World Cup. Visit ExpressBet.com to bet today. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.